It is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday morning to talk about what else? Food. And, of course, we always love hearing from Arthur. And there's been many, many times where I try the recipes and they actually work out. Good morning, Arthur. Well, I'm not very good at following directions, Arthur.
It's okay. You have your own food. It's okay. I know you cook. You don't have to follow my directions. I do follow directions because I'm curious about what the author of the recipe meant. But they're often wrong, and sometimes I have to do a correction in the middle. But anyway, so here's a recipe that is all over the internet, and I did not know this until I went to find a recipe, and it's called kawarma, and it's a meat topping for hummus. Now, we know that hummus has become, I want to say a national rage, but maybe it's not national. I don't know. I haven't looked at any numbers, but if you walk around New York City or anywhere near New York City, you're going to find a hummus section in your dairy case. And most people think, oh, yeah, hummus, I got to buy it in the supermarket. I have maybe once bought hummus in the supermarket just to see what it tasted like, and it wasn't up to my standard, which is my little food processor hummus, which takes literally 5 minutes to make. And we've used a can of chickpeas, and tastes so much better than anything. I'm assuming it tastes better. People tell me it tastes better than anything you can buy in the supermarket. But yes, hummus, and in every known flavor, some that do not belong with chickpeas, is now sold in the supermarket. So people think, well. But here I've given this recipe before, so I'll do it quick. The hummus part very quickly. My formula is one can of chickpeas, it's a 15-ounce can, one can of chickpeas, the juice of a lemon, about, you can go a little bit more or a little bit less, 3 tablespoons of tahini. Tahini is not so easy to measure, so I glung, and it's probably a little bit more than 3 tablespoons, and a clove of garlic, or maybe 2. Depends on how much you like garlic. I do not put oil in my hummus, and I do not put cumin in my hummus, usually, although I might garnish my hummus with a little cumin or hot pepper, or I favor something called Aleppo pepper. You know, Aleppo doesn't exist anymore in Syria, but we still call it Aleppo pepper. It's a kind of flaked, dried pepper that is both a little sweet and a little hot. So you get a little of both. Anyway, there are a lot of variations on the seasoning, but let's go with the main thing is you drain your can of chickpeas, but save the liquid. I've read many a recipe that tells you to wash and drain the chickpeas, or I should say drain and wash the chickpeas, and toss the liquid out. But that liquid has nutrition in it and flavor, so why are you tossing it out? Many, many years ago, I got scolded by the expert on Mexican cooking, a woman named Diana Kennedy. She's English, actually, but she's lived in Mexico most of her life. And she said, "You're throwing away that nutrition. My Mexican Indian friends would be appalled." Well, I'm appalled now when I see people throw away the liquid from canned beans and peas, chickpeas. Anyway, a can of chickpeas drained, save the liquid. Throw that in the first. I start off with the garlic because I want the garlic to be well chopped. So I put in my clove of garlic in the mini processor, chop it up, then add the chickpeas, the juice of a couple tablespoons of lemon juice. Let's say the juice of a lemon, a big pinch of salt, and the juice. And did I say the lemon? Yeah, lemon, garlic. That's it. And whirl it in the food processor. This mini processor, adding as much liquid from the can that you saved to make it very smooth and not liquid, but thick, but not too thick. I don't know how to describe this. I usually end up using about 2/3 of the liquid that's in the can. And by the way, that's a cup and a half of chickpeas. If you happen to want to cook your own chickpeas and measure them out, it's a cup and a half of chickpeas. Anyway, you whirl that. Now, it's not just whirling it. There's a a man named, whatever his name is, Ottolenghi is his last name. I can't think of his first name. He's written several cookbooks that have become bestsellers and have influenced a lot of people. But as I've said of other cookbook authors, if you leave off the last three ingredients, it's a good recipe. I mean, I just find that Ottolenghi has too much stuff in almost everything he makes, and he makes a big deal out of stuff that it doesn't need to be made a big deal. For instance, the chickpeas, he has you peeling the chickpeas. Now, if you cook chickpeas, the skins will come off readily. But in the end, it doesn't matter. In the end, I say it's good roughage. And if you pulse and then puree and pulse and puree in your mini processor, you will end up with a super, super silky smooth mixture, which is what your goal is. And it's more processing than you think. Taste it. If it's still a little grainy, process more. And it takes a few minutes, but it's just like turning on the machine. That's it. So there's your hummus. And you can make that ahead. Actually, you can make it a couple of days ahead if you want. The meat mixture, I want hot. So I've been topping it with something that I think Ottolenghi actually popularized this word, kawarma, which in fact is a Turkish word. And in fact, in Turkish, it means a meat that has been preserved in fat and then is used as an ingredient itself. In different things, but in this case, in the Israeli case, it's just ground lamb or beef, spiced, seasoned, I should say, because it doesn't have to be spicy hot or anything, and then put on top of the hummus. It makes a great dinner, I have to say. We eat this not frequently, but when I think of it, which is often enough. And with a piece of pita bread, if you really want some salad, you can have a nice little chopped salad with it, or not. You could just have a tomato salad with it, whatever you like. So the meat gets cooked with onion and spices. And if you go online, you're going to find at least a half a dozen recipes for this, all of them different. Some of them have a lemon sauce on top, which to me is way too fussy. If I want to top my kawarma with hummus, I would just top it with maybe a drizzle of yogurt. I don't even think it needs that. So the spices are, let's say I make for two. So one can of chickpeas is plenty for two people. And then with the way I just said, the hummus. And the meat, for a half a pound of ground meat, could be lamb or beef, I use, let's say, two rounded teaspoons of sweet paprika, a rounded half teaspoon of cumin, a rounded half teaspoon of cinnamon, a whole teaspoon of dried oregano, and if you have allspice, ground allspice in the house, you can put a big pinch of allspice in there, and then pepper. So it depends on what kind of pepper you like. I use the Aleppo pepper, and I use almost a whole teaspoon of it. If you want a really hot mixture, use powdered cayenne pepper, and I would use not a half a teaspoon, but maybe a little less than a half a teaspoon. And all these spices go in with the meat, and I knead it all together, as per one of the recipes I found. I thought that sounded like a good idea, and it gave me something to do. And then you need a cup of diced onion. Now, I happen to use Vidalia onion because it was in the house, but any onion will do. And I would sauté the onion in a couple tablespoons of olive oil, a cup of diced onion, until it's tender. And then add the ground meat that you've kneaded with all the spices, and chop, chop, chop in the pan, in the hot pan, with the onion. Break up the ground meat until it's in little pieces, and keep cooking until it's lost all its raw color, which takes a few minutes. And then I add a couple tablespoons of tomato paste. Now, you have to understand that I have this special tomato paste from Sicily, brought to me by my friends who just visited Syracuse, and I do use that. It's particularly good tomato paste, but any old tomato paste will do. But I'm not sure that I want to open a can of tomato paste just for 2 tablespoons. So I do keep in the house tubed, that I buy in the supermarket, tomato paste in a tube, because that you can put back in the refrigerator after you've taken 2 tablespoons, and the rest won't get moldy or spoil. By the way, my tomato paste that I get from Sicily is so dense, is so lacking in moisture, I don't know how to phrase that, that it does not go moldy. It's and you can keep it in the refrigerator. I have actually kept it for years, literally years. And it does oxidize a bit, but I like that flavor, too. So now I happen to have fresh, that brought to me fairly recently, like months ago, only a couple, 3 months ago. So you put in 2 tablespoons of tomato paste into this ground meat mixture that you've sautéed, and about a half a cup of water. And what I do is I push the meat aside, and I put the tomato paste in the pan, and I, with a fork, I dissolve the tomato paste in the water before I incorporate it all into the meat. And then you just let the meat sizzle with this tomato sauce until all the liquid is pretty much evaporated and the meat is sizzling in fat. And that's it. It only takes 2 or 3 minutes, by the way. It doesn't take very long to evaporate a half a cup of water in a skillet. So and I use like my 8-inch skillet for all this, for a half a pound of meat. It's enough. And that's it. And that. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. And you finish it off with a nice amount of chopped parsley. If you happen to have mint, you could use chopped mint. If you happen to have both, you could use a little of each. And then just and after it's off the stove, I add another squeeze of lemon, let's say the juice of another half a lemon. It perks up the whole flavor. And that's it. Salt. Did I say salt? You don't need pepper because you've added either Aleppo pepper or cayenne pepper or some other flaked pepper or ground pepper. So, but you do need salt and maybe a half a teaspoon, a little bit more of salt. You'll taste the piece of meat and you'll decide. And that's it. You put that warm meat mixture on top of your hummus, which should be at room temperature, and you've got dinner. You can garnish that also, if you happen to have in the house, with some pine nuts. I never have those in the house anymore because they're so hideously expensive. And I do know at Costco you can buy them at a good price, but then you have to buy such a large quantity. I need to make something with pine nuts just to use up these pine nuts. Then again, there is something called torta de la nonna, grandma's tart, which is basically a pine nut pie. If you do buy pine nuts in bulk to save money, it's something you could use a lot of pine nuts in. Anyway, it's really delicious. It's really filling, especially if you've got a nice piece of whole wheat pita with it. But then if you're, you know, eschewing meat these days, there's another version of hummus topped with mushrooms, totally vegetarian. In that case, I sauté the onion first, till it's a tender. It takes about 5 minutes or so. And then I add sliced mushrooms. I prefer cremini to the plain old white ones, but whatever you have. They happen to be on sale in my supermarket the other day, so I'm very well stocked with cremini, and I might do that today, in fact. But if you want to make it fancy, you can use some wild mushrooms. If they're big ones, cut them up, and if they're small ones, you can leave them tiny and whole, and saute those with the onion until they exude their liquid, which they will at over medium heat, and then continue to cook them until they start to get a little browned. And season that with, I don't know, I like the combination of hot pepper or my Aleppo pepper with cumin, but you can make up your own seasoning for that. A little nutmeg, nutmeg is always terrific with mushrooms. A little cinnamon, as I said, a little allspice. You can make up your own. And then some parsley or mint, whichever. And that's it. And I would put that on the hummus hot. But on the other hand, the mushrooms, not so much the meat, but the mushrooms are very good at room temperature. So you can make that all ahead of time and just take your room temperature hummus and spread it on a plate. and put on top the spiced mushrooms.
So I have a hummus.
Yes?
I have a hummus question from the recipe.
Yes.
When does the tahini go in?
Pardon me?
When does the tahini go in?
In the food processor.
Yeah.
I failed to mention that. Thank you.
Okay, so.
So it's chickpeas, lemon juice, garlic, tahini, salt,
and
some
the
of the liquid
juice,
from
right,
the
then
chickpea
juice.
Can. By the way, if you want to cook your own chickpeas, be my guest. Chickpeas take forever.
Why?
To get soft. However, the trick is, and Otolenghi uses this trick, is it's not so much a trick as a method, a little baking soda will help tenderize the chickpeas. Now, I learned in home economics, in junior high school.
I had it.
I'm old enough. They were just beginning to give home economics to boys as well as girls.
I had to go to shop,
and then
too.
They stopped it altogether. So now even girls don't know anything
right.
about home economics. But anyway, they taught us that we shouldn't do this because it destroys the B vitamins in the beans. And in fact, it does. It does destroy some B vitamins in the beans. Now, if you're living on beans alone, this would be important. But if you're not living on beans alone, you can sacrifice some B vitamins for the tenderness of the and the shortening of the cooking. In fact, just the other day, I cooked some. I had these beans that I bought over a year ago, and even from the beginning, when they were freshly bought, and I knew they were freshly harvested, they were a tough bean to get tender. You could cook them for a very, very long time, and still there'd be some hard ones. So the other day, I was using up the last of these. I had a small quantity, maybe it was a half a cup, two-thirds of a cup, and I was going to put them in a pot of soup, which I did. They were not getting tender. After an hour and a half, they were still not. After they'd soaked for 12 hours and then cooked for an hour and a half at in a slow simmer, they still were not tender at all. So I gave in, and I put in a half a teaspoon of baking soda. The whole thing foams up immediately, and then the foam subsides, and in fact, beans were tender about a half an hour later. By the way, some of them never got tender, even after cooking in the soup for an hour. So, I don't know. It was this batch of beans that wasn't the greatest. But if you ever have trouble getting beans to become tender, add a big pinch or a half teaspoon of baking soda. Now, I did, and I reported this on the air, I did follow a famous recipe in a famous cookbook from a restaurant in London called, what's it called? I'll think of it. Anyway, it was horrible because the instructions had you add an inordinate, I don't know, it was like 2 teaspoons or maybe a tablespoon of baking soda. And they were simmering, literally went to the bathroom, came back, and they were mush. So be careful with this baking soda method. You will find that it can be overdone. Now, Otolenghi, I saw, he adds baking soda to his chickpeas when he cooks them. And then he swears that, you know, the smoothness is the result of peeling all these chickpeas. Now, it's true, the chickpea peels come off rather easily. Some of them even will float to the top. But it's still what I call harem food. You need a harem to get this on the table. You need a lot of hands to get this on the table. It's not for a singular cook, I don't think, to peel chickpeas, unless you have nothing else to do except sit at the table and peel chickpeas after they're cooked. But in fact, hummus made with freshly cooked chickpeas has a slight edge over the canned ones. But I buy Goya brand chickpeas. They're terrific. And Goya actually now has an organic chickpea. It comes in a different colored can. And I bought those, and they're slightly more expensive, but still, the chickpeas is not going to kill your budget. I think they are better. I think they're organic, but they taste better they actually have a little edge of sweetness to them that I like. And by the way, if you ever buy, I see these around now, finally, after years of my buying freshly harvested green chickpeas still in their pods from my produce market that caters to all these different ethnic groups. I've now seen mention of them else, you know, in publications, and I've actually seen them in one supermarket in my neighborhood. So that's happening. And if you eat those, you can eat those raw, green, right out of the pod. You'll taste that a fresh chickpea has an edge of sweetness that a canned chickpea doesn't, and that I'm feeling like these organics do. So anyway, I like canned chickpeas. I don't love other canned beans and legumes, especially. I keep a can of cannellini beans in the house just in case. But truly, if I want a cannellini, the long white bean, used to be called white kidney beans, but they're not really. You could cook those in 45 minutes to an hour, so it's not a big deal. And there you go. And by the way, this is very good party food. If you're trying to plan something for the holiday season, a platter of hummus with a meat topping or a mushroom topping is, I think, a terrific party food. I mean, I think that's what hummus became so popular, because it's one of those, you know, Super Bowl dips.
Right.
True?
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know.
I don't know. I
don't know how many people dip their, what are those called?
Pita?
No, pita and hummus is great. I was just thinking of I'm absolutely blanking on it. It's not Cheetos, but it's Doritos. Doritos. It's Doritos and I don't know if Doritos.
Oh, they're chips.
Right.
They're corn chips. I don't think corn chips go with hummus.
That's what I'm trying to say.
But you can make pita chips.
Right, and they're great.
Actually, when I have pita that's a little over the hill.
Yep.
Getting a little dried out, because we don't need it a whole package at a time. Well, we can. What I do is I take a scissors and cut the pita into two halves around the edge.
Right.
You can stack up a bunch of these and then cut them into wedges and then spread it out on a baking sheet. You can either brush or spray them with olive oil or not. You can sprinkle them with a seasoning or not. Cumin is always a good one. The salt is also always a good one, too. And stick them in the oven, in a low oven, let's say 300-degree oven, until they're crisp and until they're crisp.
About how long?
And then you've got pizza chips. I guess you can buy these days, too.
But. Sure, but about how long do you keep them in the oven?
Oh,
20 minutes, 15, 30?
Yeah, probably 20 minutes or so. At 300 degrees, at least 20 minutes, I would think.
Right. I'm just trying to do
parameters. Till they're crisp.
Yeah. No, April. I understand.
That's, yeah.
I
it's not all day. It doesn't take all day.
Right.
It doesn't take 10 minutes either.
So it's somewhere.
Somewhere in between 10 minutes and all day.
All right. Now, I've got a difficult question.
By the way, you can put them in another. If you have something else in the oven, you can put them in at a different temperature. If
right.
it's higher, they're going to be faster and get a little browner. And if it's lower, they'll just get dry.
Right. Yeah, and you'll just have to keep an eye on it. So here is, and I don't know if this is possible, but if you were talking to someone who basically didn't have the palate that liked... let's just say had a didn't like cumin, for example. How would you season the meat for someone who
doesn't like cumin? Just leave out the cumin. I don't know, a little allspice, a little nutmeg, a little cinnamon.
Yeah, who didn't like that?
Some kind of pepper flakes, parsley.
If you weren't using the cinnamon, if you weren't going in the cinnamon card, if
you're
not going
to use any of those things, and you don't have spiced meat.
Right.
How about we start with this? What spices do you like?
Any herbs. I love herbs and meat.
Well, this needs spices, because it's called spiced meat for a reason, because it's got spices in it.
How about shallots and herbs?
If you don't like
herbs.
Any of those spices, I would make another recipe.
So what I'm wondering is, that's very funny.
I would not make this dish.
I understand.
If you don't like spices,
but it sounds
you can't make spiced beef.
Here's what I'm wondering. Can you make spiced beef using shallots and herbs and pepper and
Well, Well, you can do anything you like, Jill, but it's not the same thing.
I totally understand that, but I'm wondering, does
Well, yes, of course you can. Nobody's going to stop you.
Does it go with the hummus is what I'm asking?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, that's it.
Put a bunch of herbs in there. But it's not at all the same.
I totally understand that. It wouldn't taste nearly. I'm just wondering.
Yeah. You don't eat any of those spices?
Not on meat.
Not on meat?
Yeah, not on meat. Sorry.
No cinnamon.
No, right.
I prefer cinnamon on savory things. Actually, I'm not a big cinnamon fan in sweet things.
Right.
And the same, for me, it's mint also. I prefer mint with meat and savory things than I do, like, with mint ice cream I don't like. So, if you don't eat any of those spices, you move on to eat something else.
No, I totally understand. The idea of it on hummus sounded great, and I just wondered.
Yeah, I know, but you need to season it somehow.
Yeah, but
herbs would do it if you use enough of them.
If you
use parsley, mint,
right?
I don't know.
Take some ground lamb
together. You might as well have tabbouleh,
okay,
which is parsley and mint.
Okay.
You
could take parsley, mint,
and lemon. You could put lemon, and you can make meat in it. Look, you can do anything you want. You can take Italian meat sauce and put it on top of your hummus. It probably would be delicious. But yeah,
I don't know about that. But I mean,
well, why not?
No reason. No reason. But I was just thinking, if you take lamb and as you said, mint and rosemary and lemon and garlic.
It sounds nice.
You could probably.
Yeah, it sounds nice.
It'd be okay. Okay.
I think you have an issue here for therapy, though.
Okay, no problem. I have no doubt.
Well, after listening to the last 5 minutes, I'm going to therapy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No, I'm just not going to make it. That's real simple. I just wondered if it would.
No, it's
go.
Like it, you asked me, how do you make aioli without garlic? Well, I mean, the definition of aioli is garlic mayonnaise. That's the definition.
Yeah.
So if you're going to make aioli without garlic,
you're not
going to
make
it. Something else.
You're not going to make.
By the way, there is something else out there. I once had a big argument with a chef on my WOR radio show because he was making what he called aioli. With no garlic, but with, God knows, with other things. And I said, but that's not really aioli. Aioli is, by definition, garlic. Well, he argued with me. He won, by the way, because now I see everything aioli, even when it's not with garlic.
That's right. I was just going to say, that's a problem.
That's a word that has become meaningless because it can be anything.
That is true. And I'm still recovering from Evu.
Emu?
Yeah.
What's emu?
Evu. E-V-O-O.
Oh, well, I don't even... That's not in my vocabulary.
I understand.
So I'm not recovering.
Extra virgin olive oil.
I got it. Yeah, I think Rachel Ray started that, but I do watch Rachel Ray from time to time. Her 30-minute meals is a nice show.
Okay.
Because she does something in real time, which is fun. But she doesn't. I notice she doesn't say that anymore. It's like that knife that she made popular, the Sonkuto, whatever it's called. It's that straight bladed knife. It's a short blade, and I always called it the Rachel Ray knife because I could never remember the Japanese name for it. But she doesn't use that word anymore either. I think she got criticized a lot. And also, she's so knowledgeable nowadays. I mean, when she first started on TV, she didn't know much, and her food showed it. But now she really has become a very knowledgeable adult woman.
All right. With that being said...
I mean, it sounds like I'm a Rachel Ray fan, and I guess I have become a Rachel Ray fan.
Yay.
Merry
Christmas, everybody.
Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas.
I was going to give a recipe for eggnog, but I think I'll save that for New Year.
Okay.
So we can all... I wake up in the morning and turn the news on, and is it any wonder that I'm stressed the rest of the day?
All right, just be prepared.
I can use some eggnog on New Year's.
Just be prepared. When you give your recipe for eggnog, Jill's going to want eggnog without egg in it. So I understand.
Oh, I forgot.
Just joking.
I wanted, you know, she was going to ask me for hummus without chickpeas. Now, there is such a thing now. In fact, just
you've
quickly,
already solved it
we went to a friend's house.
Without garlic.
Leah Koenig, who is like the number one Jewish food writer these days, and Leah has a new book, by the way, too. So we go to Leah's house for dinner, and she serves something orange, and Bob is loving it. And he says, oh, what is this? And she said, it's sweet potato hummus. I said, uh-oh, Bob doesn't eat sweet potatoes.
Oh, he does now. All right.
But he ate that because she called it hummus, so he didn't know what it was.
Okay.
No wonder you're fighting with me. All right.
Merry Christmas. And Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah, we would said
started
that
started last night.
Yes, it did.
All right. Yeah, we had a big party here in Grand Army Plaza in Brooklyn. It's the country's largest menorah. It's placed right in front of my door.
As if people didn't know you were Jewish. All right.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio and the Robin Hood Radio Network. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, and on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef, more information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.